Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. In your Bible, Pew Bible, is page 883, John 21, 9 through 19. It's John 21, 9 through 19. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" This time Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fashion your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me."
Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So today we're continuing this series that we've titled Resurrecting. And we've titled it that because we are still in what we call the Easter season of the church calendar. And so we've taken some words from Elevation Worship's song, and it says, "By your spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat." And here's the phrase we're focusing on. "The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me." So last week we looked at the disciples on their road to Emmaus. As they were going back home, they were giving up. And we said that if we want to experience resurrecting power in our faith, we have to give an invitation to Christ to come in. We have to surrender control. We said we needed to return to the map, the scriptures. And then we said we needed to stop, turn around, and go and tell the others. So I hope that touched you this week as you pondered on that. And today we come to another very popular scripture story. One that often focuses on the redemption of Peter. Focuses on, this is kind of Peter's second call into ministry. But today I want to look at it from the lens of how can we take from this passage something that will allow the resurrected King to continue resurrecting us. It's pretty simple. Those of you writing down, you ready? Love, feed, and follow. love, feed, and follow. Peter is asked, do you love me? Before anything else, it comes down to love. Before Christ redeems Peter, it comes down to love. Before Christ sends Peter back out into ministry as a redeemed person, it comes down to love. Love makes you do crazy things. Do y'all know that? Man. You love your kids and your grandkids, don't you? Man, so you'll take them and do all sorts of silly things and spend all kind of ridiculous money just to see them smile. You'll follow them all over to watch them sit the bench just so you can say, that's my baby. Now let's talk about love. Love makes you do some crazy things. Rumor has it that when Stacy and I started dating, she couldn't stop talking about how much she loved me. To the point where all her friends didn't want to be around her anymore because they were tired of hearing about Andrew. Not true. Hey. I got the microphone here, Danny. Tell the story the way I want to. But love does make us do some crazy things. The love Christ had for us made him do some crazy things, didn't it? I would think going, as a perfect person, going to the cross is pretty crazy, especially when you consider he did it for people like me. And loving God is a big part of our heritage as Methodists. When John Wesley wrote the character of a Methodist, he was asked, so tell us who these Methodist people are. He said this, he said, I answer, a Methodist is one who has the love of God shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Spirit given unto him. One who loves the Lord the God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength. And so Tuesday I sat somewhere up here. I don't remember where I was, but I was somewhere up here praying very early. My coffee had just kind of kicked in. And you ever been praying and then you just get to a point and you don't know what to say anymore? And you just kind of sit there. And then finally I got out, God, I don't understand why the last few weeks have been a struggle for me. I don't understand, how can I feel places of discouragement when everything on the outside's going so well? You ever felt that way before? On the surface, things look great. But on the inside, something's just wrong. And I was reminded back to one of my seminary classes of all things, and we were sitting in that class and the professor said, what might be happening today is you had to make this trip to Kentucky to slow down and stop doing the Lord's work long enough so he can ask you, do you love me? Because so we can get busy doing the other stuff and forget about falling deeper in love with God. And I was so humbled that, man, y'all realize you have to work on relationships? You've got to. Doesn't matter how long you've been married, you better keep working on it. Or keep doing what's been told to do. But it's a work. Every relationship you have is a work. So when's the last time you worked on your relationship with Christ? When's the last time you sat down and you said, I'm so busy, but for this 20 minutes, for this 5 minutes, for this 10 minutes, all I care about is growing in my love of Christ. Jesus said, do you love me more than these? And some theologians say he's talking about the other disciples. Some scholars say he's talking not only about the disciples, but his fishing ventures. Because Peter's now going back to fishing because that's what he knows. Jesus is dead. He's going back to fishing. Do you love me more than your business? Do you love me more than all of these things? And I think that's a tough question for us to hear in 2019, because if we had to answer that question honestly, our answer is no. Yes, Jesus, I love you. I don't know that I love you more than my kids. I don't know that I love you more than my vacation. I don't know that I love you more than this or that or this or that. It's a struggle. It's a struggle to truly love Christ more than anything. But if you're wanting to experience the resurrected King resurrecting you, you've got to first grow in your love of Christ. But every time that Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" He then gives him a responsibility. He says, "Go and feed my sheep." Some of your translations may even say, "Tend my lambs." Either way, what he's saying is, go take care of my people. You see, maybe somebody needs to hear this today. Your redemption, let me say it another way. Your salvation, your eternal destiny in heaven isn't just for you. Christ says you got to then go feed and take care of the others. So our redemption, while it saves us, while it justifies us in the eyes of God, it can't stop there. It has to then be about the other people. And so many times we make it just about us. If this question was asked in 2019, I think it would go something like this. Stacy, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Then go tell your pastor to feed my people. Because that's the way we want to operate. But let me tell you what happened on Tuesday night. Tuesday night, the adult Sunday school class met and fed a group of people in our community. And I'm going to protect them because this will be online. Who have nowhere else to go other than the home they're staying in. It's a residential home. They opened up our facilities. They cooked. They fed. They engaged. They sat at tables and they talked to them and they heard their stories and they prayed and they sang songs. They ministered to people. They cleaned up. They cut the air conditions off. They cut the lights off. They locked the doors. And guess who wasn't here? Me. They didn't need their pastor to feed God's people. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy because you don't want to agree with that. But we don't want to take responsibility for our serving of other people. But he says, feed my sheep. Take care of my people. In our context, that's our children. I want to share this with you because some of you just don't know. And it's not your fault you don't know. I don't tell you. Last Sunday, we had 27 children under the age of 12 in that building. 10 babies upstairs. Don't tell me there's not something in the water. There's 10 babies upstairs. 17 children downstairs having a full-blown contemporary worship service. They're not babysitting them. They're teaching them to follow Jesus. I've got 4-year-old nieces and nephews who can sing God's Not Dead. They might not be able to tell you what's for lunch, but they can tell you God's not dead. We've got nursery children who can sing, "My God is powerful," and that might be the only sentence they can say. But that's tending to his sheep. That means caring for each other. If Christians really took care of each other, like we see in the book of Acts, churches should not have to spend a dime on caring for their own people. But where we can't get stuck is that feeding his sheep also means the people in this community who don't know him. So he says, love. He says, feed. And then he says, follow. Here's the funniest thing in this whole passage to me, and I do think it's funny. Poor Peter, right? Peter's just had this beautiful exchange with Jesus, and if you dig into the Greek, it makes it even more beautiful. And Jesus says, follow me. And Peter's on this high. He's like, anywhere, Jesus. I know I failed you. And then he gets a couple steps in, he turns around and goes, "Hey, but what about John?" And Jesus was like, "What does he matter about what I told you to do? I told you to follow me. What is it to you if he stays until the coming of the kingdom?" Peter's worried about what John's going to do. But the call to follow, the call to discipleship, is an individual and personal call. But it has to be an ongoing process. There's a difference in I have decided to follow Jesus, and I am continuing to decide to follow Jesus. Does that make sense? There's a difference in saying I want to follow him versus my life is going to be solely about following him. See, that's how the Methodist movement got started. The Anglican Church decided, I want to follow Jesus. And they sat in their pews and they minded their own business and they sat through the torturous sermons and they put their little money in the plate and they went home and did nothing. So John Wesley said, this doesn't match what I see and hear. And so he started a revival group whose focus was every single day holding each other accountable for following Jesus. How many of you have heard the song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus"? But the history behind that song is there was a revival in Wales, and this man went out to this remote village in India, and he converted this man. Well, this man was called before the king, and he was told that if he did not renounce his faith, that his kids would be killed. And that's how the song got started. He said, "We have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." Do you know what happened? They killed his kids in front of him. The king then said, "Your children are now dead. Your wife is next. Either renounce your faith or she will die." And he's saying, "Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back." Do you know what happened? They shot his wife. The chief king then said, "One more chance. Your kids, your wife, they're gone. You can save your life if you deny your faith." And he sang, "The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back." You know what happened? They shot him. And you're saying, "Well, preacher, that's a terrible story when you're talking about resurrecting power in our faith." But do you know what happened? The chief said, "Why would this man watch his children and his wife and his own wife pass before him for a man who lived long ago far away that he never met?" And the only conclusion he had was there had to be something special about Jesus. He repented of his actions. He declared, "I too want to follow Jesus." And the entire town became believers. Following Jesus is not easy, but it's what we're called to do. Falling deeper in love with Jesus is not easy, but it's what we're called to do. Taking care of his people is not easy, but it's who we've been called to be. And that's who we're going to be as a church. You say, "Well, that's not really who." Well, just keep praying about it, because the message isn't going to change. The hymn, the final verse of the hymn ends by saying, "Will you decide now to follow Jesus?" You may have accepted Christ 50 years ago, But today might be the time to get your steps back in line with him. It might be time today to say, I want to grow. I want to grow in my faith. And if that means love, feed, follow, then sign me up. If that's you and you're not comfortable coming down front to pray, there's nothing magical about coming down front to pray. But if you want to do that, I'll pray with you. If you don't, let me know sometime this week. We'll pray over the phone. Well, I'll pray through an email. I don't know how that worked, but I'll figure it out. So let's stand as we close our time of worship. And I believe the hymn is in an insert in your bulletin. And so let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.